Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, today our theme is Jesus loves the little children, so I invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We'll read verses 13 through 16 only this morning as we consider our theme this week, Jesus loves the little children. Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. I'll read it out loud. Ask you to follow along silently. This is God's holy and inspired word. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let's pause now for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your inspired word. We thank you for Jesus, who is the goal of your word, the author of our salvation, the one about whom scriptures teach. We thank you, O Lord, today for the attitude of our Savior towards the children and what we learn from our Savior through the children this morning. We pray that you would touch our thinking and our feeling and our doing. We pray that the attitude of Christ would be our attitude as we follow him by faith, and that his ministry to the children would be the church's ministry to the children, even our ministry to the children. We pray that you would give us joy in our hearts for the little ones that are with us in public worship this morning and for those who we will serve this coming week. May Jesus Christ be praised. We ask in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, Vacation Bible School begins tomorrow. And it is for children age 3 all the way to going into 5th grade. And it runs for 4 nights, consecutive nights, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And let me tell you this, I'm excited because Vacation Bible School is a great way to invite kids to Jesus, to meet Jesus. And this brings us to our text, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is a string of 3 stories. 3 stories that precede the third and final prediction by Jesus of his passion, of his coming death for his people. And in these 3 stories, we learn how Jesus relates to 3 categories of people. First, to women in verses 1 through 12. Then to little children here in verses 13 through 16. And then finally to powerful men in the following verses thereafter. Because the gospel is for all 3 kinds of people. It is for men, it is for women, it is for children. It is a global gospel. Everyone is welcome to Jesus. Everyone is welcome in church. Especially as we learn in today's passage, the children. And so that's my challenge to you today as we read our text and meditate upon it, for you to apply it this week by inviting the little children to Vacation Bible School. Bring your kids and bring other kids too. And we see this in our first point. Our first point is this: the people who brought the little children to Jesus. The people who brought the little children to Jesus. Let's read verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, who are these people who are bringing the little children to Jesus? We do not know. The text does not say. Perhaps they are their parents, perhaps relatives, aunts or uncles, or friends of the family, or older brothers or older sisters. We don't know the identity of these people who bring the little children to Jesus, but we do know one thing. One thing we do know is that Mark uses the masculine pronoun to describe them all. So in other words, the people bringing the children to Jesus were not simply the women. If it were women only, he would have used the feminine pronoun. No, when using the masculine pronoun, it's rather general. It can be masculine only, but often it's masculine and feminine. We're bringing the children to Jesus. And what we learn from this is that kids need women and men in their lives, both. Kids need men and women in their lives. And a challenge to you men comes from Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 4, where he particularly addresses fathers in their role to the children. He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." And so, fathers, Vacation Bible School is one wonderful tool for you to raise the little ones in the instruction and admonition of the Lord, as it is for all of us. And so kids need men in their life, kids need women in their lives. So whether you are a man or a woman, or even an older teenager, or maybe just an older kid, you can bring a kid to Jesus this week through Vacation Bible School. The point I'm making is that it's not just the job of the moms. And moms, you're doing a wonderful job. And grandmas do a wonderful job at caring for the little ones, bringing them to Jesus. But it's for all of us. It's for women and men. It's for teenagers and older kids. And so every man, woman, and teen can bring a kid to church this week. Now, who are the kids involved in your lives? Maybe it's those neighborhood kids you see running around every day looking for things to do during the summer months. Maybe half of your neighborhood is gone this coming week in the middle of July, but there's always just a couple playing looking for something to do. That's your kid. Or maybe it's your own children. Maybe it's your nieces and your nephews who ordinarily don't go to church or who aren't brought to church, but you could bring them this week. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's someone you provide daycare for. Maybe it's someone that is a friend of your child from school. There's so many. The possibilities are endless. You are the people who brings the children to Jesus. George MacDonald once said this. He said that he doubted a man's Christianity if children were never found playing near his door. And so I would invite you today to have a life that invites children to play near your door and to bring them to Vacation Bible School. I look back with fond memories at the many men and women who touched my life as a child. Where did I meet them? I met them at youth group. I met them at Sunday school. I met them at Vacation Bible School. I met them at Awana. I met them at Catechism Club. I met them through many ministries the church has towards children. So you and I are very near and dear to the heart of Jesus when we love the little ones and bring them to Jesus. Anybody can bring a kid to church. Now, I want you to notice our next point, exactly who they are bringing. All right, firstly, we asked who are doing the bringing. Now, exactly who are they bringing? Well, they're bringing the little children. The Greek word is paideia. Now, interestingly, in Luke's account of this story, he uses a different word. The word is brephe, and that means babies. And so you and I think of children in our society as people who are under the age of 18, minors. My 84-year-old mother considers me to be her child and even her baby. But this is not who Jesus is talking about here. Here, Jesus introduces, or Mark rather, introduces a particular kind of child that is being brought to Jesus. Infants, babies, really young children. In fact, later in the story, you see that they're children who are small enough for Jesus to take in his arms. These are the young children Mark is addressing. And in many ways, the picture Mark paints is very different than the cover you see on many children's Bibles. I love the children's Bibles when they have pictures of the little ones on the Bible, and they're often represented by the whole group, teens, preteens, middlers, juniors, beginners, all sitting there very neatly and very photogenically on the cover of the child's Bible. But that kind of well-behaved group of kids intently listening to God's word would not have earned a rebuke from the disciples. Man, if those were the kind of kids, well-behaved, sitting nicely, no disciple's going to rebuke that. No, this is not the accurate scene. A more accurate picture of what Mark presents would not help the sale of any children's Bible. Imagine with me the scene, just families standing in line. Families standing in line. There's babies in their arm. There's little kids running around. They're screaming. They're crying. There's dirty diapers, or rather, in that age, often no diaper at all. These are little ones frightened by strangers. These are little ones with 10-second attention spans, 10-word vocabularies. It's not an attractive picture. Let me tell you a story. When I first served as an associate pastor with Pastor Larry, he might even remember this. You know, as an associate, you get many jobs assigned to you. One of them is that I taught the children in the midweek, during the midweek ladies' Bible study. And Lynn will remember this as well. And I taught the children my first year stories from the book of Kings, stories about kings. And it was a 90-minute teaching time, and the ladies met in the other room. It was called, not daybreak, it was called like sunrise. I forget what Pam Stafford called it. It was a wonderful ladies' Bible study. But I was in the other room with their kids. And the ladies would come out serene and refreshed from their Bible study and pick up their kids. And I kept my smile the whole time. And then Lynn will remember, afterwards I had to go off somewhere for an hour break just to get my head screwed back on. And that explains why the disciples were rebuking the crowd of parents, because it's exhausting to take care of children. It's exhausting. And we go back at it every day because of the joy we have at this gift, but it's just hard work. It's hard work. And so Jesus welcomes these kind of children, the most demanding kind of children, widely into his arms. And not only does he welcome the physically young, but also Jesus, by inference, welcomes the spiritually young and the socially young and those who are weak and needy and unimportant and draining. Jesus welcomes the draining. He welcomes the young and helpless into his arms. And he says, yes, those are the ones. Bring those ones to me. Now, why are they bringing the children? That's our next point. We've talked about who are doing the bringing, who they are bringing. Why are they bringing the children to Jesus? And the look at your text again. You'll see what it says there in verse 13. They bring these little ones to Jesus so that he can, do you see it in your text? So he can what? Okay. In particular, so he can touch them. Yeah, that's the physical side, to bring the little ones for the Savior to touch them. Now, it's interesting, in the Bible, there are multiple occasions we see for touching, sacred touching, the sacred laying on of hands. For example, it was the custom of Jesus to lay hands on people he would heal. It's a very tender and compassionate way that the incarnate Son of God touched them in the name of the Lord to heal them. But the age and energy of these little ones leads us to believe they weren't there for healing. Another reason we see for touching in the Bible is a sacred one. A few of us have had this sacred touching. It's called ordination. And it's very sacred. I remember the day I was ordained. I remember many of our officers having many hands laid upon them, a sacred way where authority is being conferred upon them through the laying on of hands. The Lord does that. But the age of the children negate an ordination service. That's not going on. Another reason the laying on of hands was to consecrate a sacrifice. So the priest, the Levitical priest, would lay their hands on a burnt offering to consecrate it to the Lord, but no sacrifice is occurring in this story. The best reason we see is the reason given in verse 16, that Jesus was blessing the little children. And Jesus still blesses little children today. How so? Well, statisticians tell us that children are the ones who overwhelmingly are turning to Jesus. Did you know that? It's the children who are overwhelmingly turning to Jesus and being blessed by him. Last decade, a Gallup survey shows that 19 out of 20 people who become Christians did so before the age 25. 19 out of 20 people receive the blessing of Jesus when they're young. And then it goes on to say that at age 25, about 1 in 10,000 will become believers. At age 35, about 1 in 50,000 become believers. At age 45, about 1 in 200,000 become believers. At age 55, 1 in 300,000. At age 75, 1 in 700,000. And we've seen one of those 1 in 700,000 here years ago, a brother by the name of Bob Trapp. However, when you and I bring the little children to Jesus, I just don't know if we realize how important it is. They are the ones receiving the blessing of Jesus. Overwhelmingly, in every generation, it's the young. Why do we think it's a bother for the ones who are responding most to Jesus that I've got to ask their parents, can I take them to vacation Bible school? They are the ones Jesus is laying his hands upon to bless them overwhelmingly. Church is a place of blessing for the very young. This now brings us to our second point, the attitude of Jesus toward the children being brought. So our first point, who are these people bringing Jesus the children? Now, what is the attitude of Jesus toward the children who have been brought? Look at verse 14. So when Jesus saw the rebuke of the disciples, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I find it fascinating that this is the only place in Mark's gospel where the word indignant is used of Jesus. The word literally means much grieved. Jesus was much grieved when the disciples rebuked the children and their families. Jesus is grieved when we obstruct the children, period. Children belong to Jesus. Children belong to Jesus. And so when we bring them to church, whether on the day we present them for baptism, if they and us are members of the church, or when we bring them to Sunday school, or we come midweek on Wednesday nights to catechism club, or to our kids clubs, or Sunday night youth group, or to Sunday morning, Sunday night church services, and to our annual vacation Bible school, we are presenting them to Jesus who receives them. They are mine, he says. He welcomes the little children. Now, not only do they belong to him, but they also teach us an important lesson. You see, the children, now listen to me closely, and I want you teachers and workers this week, while you're looking at your children, and maybe even while you're catching your breath, because I'll be there too, and I'll feel the adrenaline and the fatigue by the end of the night, just like everybody else. But I want you all week, when you're looking at the children, to remember Jesus says they are a pattern for adult disciples to imitate. So when there's all kinds of kids running around, you and I are to look at them and learn something about the kingdom of God. We see this in verse 15. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now, before I tell you what we're learning here, I want to make this comment. It's normal in life that children learn from adults. Right? That's the normal pattern for life. Children learn from adults. But in this instance, Jesus tells us adults to open our eyes because it is the children doing the teaching. Okay? So children teach us every day, says our Lord Jesus, and they teach us something very special, how to enter the kingdom of God. So when we're babysitting children, when we're teaching the children, when we're chaperoning the children, when we're feeding the children, look at the children because they're teaching you, you adults, how to enter the kingdom of God. We learn from children the qualities one needs to enter the kingdom of God. So what are these qualities? What are the qualities? Well, some have suggested, and I'm going to actually go through some that aren't right, so don't get your dander up when I say we learn this from the kids, and we sort of do. Well, let's go through our list. Some have suggested that we learn innocence from the children. In other words, that you must be innocent to enter the kingdom of God. And yes, there is a way in which we do need to be innocent to enter the kingdom of God, washed by the blood of Jesus. But I would say people who teach that we learn innocence from the children are people who aren't actively raising children at that moment, okay? I think we as parents and grandparents, you know, we know what they mean, maybe. Children are simple, and that's beautiful, the simplicity of children. Or they're tender. Or maybe they've not been spoiled by worldly attitudes. And in that sense, there is an innocence about children. But otherwise, we know, we who are parents or grandparents or caregivers to little ones, that they're not quite innocent. I don't think we should use that word. As soon as little children are old enough to learn how to lie, they will lie. And we all have amusing stories of the first time our child ever lied. Our precious little one. Bold-faced lie. As soon as they are old enough to weave 10 to 20 words together, they will weave a story that you wouldn't believe, or you shouldn't believe. All right, so innocent is not quite what we learn from the children about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's interesting. When you're a little child, you think that when you're grown up, you'll stop doing naughty things, and you don't. And often when you're an older adult, grandparent age often, you can be fooled into thinking the little children never do anything naughty when they do. Unless you're living with kids actively, then you know. So we don't learn innocence from children. Others have suggested that we learn humility from children. Humility. That we, indeed it is true, must be humble to enter the kingdom of heaven. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Yes, that is true. However, if you have ever lived with a four-year-old, you will know that humility can be a foreign thing to four-year-olds. Four-year-olds can rule the world. A four-year-old's motto is, I can do it. Little Bob the Builder. I can do it. I can do it. I can do anything. whatever it is they can do. So humility is not by nature what the children teach us about the kingdom of God. Maybe there's other qualities, and commentaries go on at length suggesting possible qualities of children that Jesus thinks we must have. Perhaps we need their sense of imagination. Perhaps we need their sense of excitement in life. Perhaps we need their eagerness to learn in order to enter the kingdom of God. Yes, these are qualities worth imitating, but the Bible does not teach those qualities as what is needed to enter the kingdom of God. No, this statement of Jesus in verse 15, this statement has nothing to do with the subjective state of children. Jesus is talking about their objective status. Let me explain. Every single child in the world, no matter their personality, whether they are bold or humble, every single child in the world, absolutely, completely, totally, is objectively helpless and dependent on others. And so if you and I are to follow Jesus and enter his kingdom, we must enter it as one who knows we are helpless. We are dependent on Jesus and his grace. Like a little child, like a little baby, we have nothing to contribute. Like a little child, like a little baby, we need everything provided for us. The path to Jesus, the path to the kingdom of God is his grace and your nothingness. As the old hymn says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." And we learn that from kids. Teachers this week, parents every day, you learn this daily from your little kids. Children are dependents. That's what we call them on our IRS tax forms. They are dependents. They have no status to defend. They are not independent. Their status is dependent. We check that box. You depend. They are used to depending on others. You see, it's us adults who have a problem here, and we need the children to teach us. You see, we adults have a lot going for us. We adults find it hard to depend on the grace of God in Christ because we have status, and we have worked for our status many decades. Think of the Pharisees in the days of Jesus. The Pharisees had immense status among God's people. And why did the Pharisees oppose Jesus so fiercely? Because they had status. They were the rulers. They were the lay, middle class, successful business people. They were the morality leaders. They had everything going for them. And along comes Jesus and says, none of that matters when it comes to God's kingdom. And so they oppose him. They challenge him because they have status to lose. But who are the adults who follow Jesus? It's not hardly the Pharisees. Hardly a Pharisee followed him. A few did. But who is it that follows Jesus? It's the beggars and it's the blind people. And what do beggars and blind people have to lose? Nothing except begging and blindness. And they're pretty happy to lose those things. But the Pharisees, like us adults, have status, self-respect, years of work, and history, and it's hard to give that up and to depend fully and wholly on God. So Jesus says we must come to him as a needy baby if we are to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we need the kids around. That's why we need nursery. That's why we need them here in church, cooing and crying and being involved. That is why we need them in Sunday school and need them in VBS and need them around us. They are teaching us. We gather to teach them while they're teaching us by their very dependence on you and me. That's why we need kids around. They have so much to teach. Notice finally, our final point, the gift Jesus gives to the children and all who fully depend on him. Look at verse 16 for our gift. And Jesus took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. I can think of no better reward than this picture. Jesus taking us in his arms. Being in the arms of Jesus, God incarnate, the infinite, eternal God who is spirit, taking the form of a servant, a man, so that he may physically touch you in his arms and hold you. There is no greater gift. When you come to God as a humble sinner, repenting of your sins, believing in his son, he doesn't rebuke you. That's what disciples do. That's what overly religious people do. He is not too busy for you, sending you away. That is what his disciples did. God in Christ is not too dignified for you. That's what his disciples thought. God promises to receive you and to receive you and to be with you. So I close by challenging you this week. Bring a kid to VBS. The attitude Jesus has for kids will teach you much about grace. And as you serve them, you will be reminded each day why Jesus loves the kids. They teach us about the kingdom, that we are saved by grace, not by works, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, and that if you would know the blessings of Jesus, you've got to depend upon him like our littlest of the littlest ones depend upon us. And let all God's people agree by saying amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has come to save the sons and daughters of God. And we pray that we would enter into your kingdom through the humble acknowledgement that we are nothing, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to your cross we cling. And we pray this week that as Jesus ministers to the children through our hands and feet, that you would teach us about your kingdom of grace. Lord, we confess to you, we are proud. We confess to you that our status and our symbols of status and our achievement have puffed us up with pride and can obstruct us in our walk with you. We pray that we would learn from the children and set aside all pride, set aside all status, and come to you with the empty hands of faith. Thank you that you are merciful to us as Jesus is merciful to the little children. And we pray that we would enjoy and receive the strength and love of your arms as Jesus gave them to the children. Thank you, O Lord, for this blessed promise. Now prosper VBS this coming week for your glory and for the good of the little ones. We ask in Jesus' name, and let us say amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.